today. I'm a fourth grade Rebbe. First, I want to thank Torah Anytime, Kava Shkocha Pratis. I want to thank Kol HaLoshen and the Rabbeinu Shalom himself for this beautiful opportunity. The time is now, to be exact, 7:57. We're holding our thought. And it's Erev Shabbos Kedish, Parshas Vay. Vay El Paray. Tafshin Pei Aleph. The English I'm not sure of. I want to tell you something. I happen to like Williamsburg Jews, but Nielsen. I like all of them, but Williamsburg, I was sort of like, when I was a kid, my parents took me to Williamsburg to see the something. The Atarvadas, the davening, what it was like, Yeshiva said daven. We're going way back, you know, my age, I don't want to give me away, but we're going back and back. There was nothing else in the world. Atarvadas was here. And I saw the Sabbath Rebbe dancing, and I saw the Yom Narayim davening in Atarvadas. Anyway, I went to Williamsburg. Williamsburg, we were told we were kids. Williamsburg, that's the place. We have beards. There were no beards in Far Rockaway. You're allowed to not have a beard. Don't worry. You're allowed to, yes, have a beard also. Wait a minute. That for sure you can, but you don't have a beard. Don't worry. You know, what do you say to Sabri? He said, best ayid on abod. The abod on ayid. It's good. I'm not getting into that stuff. It's not my thing over here. Now, but the thing is, I don't want to say, it was so interesting. A beard, a striver. We went, not shy. My father himself was unique. They say he was the first beard in America. He went about 10 other people. First beard. In America, young man, I don't know how many, but he was for sure not stopping. Schar, I told my father, you're not the schar kula. Anyway, but what I want to say, Williamsburg, come to Williamsburg. Williamsburg's in his own world. Williamsburg, that's all we had those days. Williamsburg was the only Yiddish guy we had. We're talking about, all we have is Dr. Bernstein. We have his Heinekel over here, the cream of the Bernstein family. We have Dr. Bernstein. Shagafai Mendelovich with Mike Tress. Who was there? Wilhelm. The Mandels. Ackerman family. I'm related to them. The better cream. That was it. Few of the family. Zymekism. That's the whole. Anyway, so we came to Williamsburg. Anyway, recently, which means about 20 years ago, I was in Williamsburg. And I see a Yid over there signing a check. And he said, says, was far year this? What year is this by the guy you should date? He didn't know. What year is this? What month is this by the game? How does it go? Now, I personally relate to that. I'm a little bit like that, not because I'm so Aina, I'm a little abatman, I don't know, but whatever it is. So if I don't know the English date, as long as I know the Yiddish date, to me that's more important. I hope the Yiddish doesn't mind. I'm a little getting too extreme over here. But that's the way I am. Anyway, I want to tell you something. Somebody walked into my class to take a picture of me. But they can't take a picture. We made a see him today in fourth grade kids. And I put on my best smile. And the whole place is lovely. The kids are standing around me. And we're holding hands. I told myself, this goes on all over the world. Come for the picture. And everybody's putting on his best smile. And the Rebbe looks like he's in love with the kids. Grada I am. That's not the point. And the kids love the Rebbe. Just yesterday, the kid was about to be suspended. But just 2 days ago, a parent called up. Rabbi Greenfeld, whatever his name is. Rabbi Cohen. I'm going to tell the principal how dissatisfied I am with you. Whatever happened. Or just yesterday, his wife just decided, you don't see that in the picture. The picture, he looks like $1 million. The guy could be suffering from who knows what kind of imbalance, chemical imbalance, and who knows what he could be doing to the people around him. But in the pictures, everybody looks great. And the other guy's picture, and I look at the other, and he's, wow, he looks like a hush of a man. Look at that beard. And look at the payers. This guy is. See pictures. You open up the Ted. You open up all these newspapers. Look at the pictures. Wow. Oh, he's got San Nicolas over there. Because they never wanted to be Mohammed. And they realized he was in bad shape. So they gave his hand. That they don't write. Listen. If he's always getting it, he's not enjoying it. because to him it goes over his head. Oh, he has it every day. In fact, he wishes they wouldn't bother him so much because he wants to learn something. So whatever it is, you don't see the truth. And you see all these pictures, the pictures fool you. You go to a chassid, everyone's dressed up, blah, blah, blah. All the ladies go take meshuggah that they have to look good for, till they're 99, or else you're puzzled. You don't look good. The men also have to look good. Yeah, who says you have to look neat? Every his best smile, and the weight gotta be, and this gotta be, and that gotta be. And everyone's busy, fool. Everyone looks around everyone else. He looks like a chashuva guy. He looks like he's happy. He looks like he's look at the way he walks with his kids. I can tell you a true story. Oh boy. I saw a family that I was like, I was jealous. I'm not into being jealous, but let's say I was. I could see that being jealous would be in place. A father, a mother, and a child. Look at myself. That's a beautiful family. Halavai, you know the way people are. I don't like that stuff. I don't do it. I'm just making believe. But it's a true story that I saw a family that I figured, wow, these guys are really, they got it all. And Taich Kedei Dibur, I'm standing there, the father comes over to me. My son is suffering from, don't ask. Don't ask. So we're going on a trip. Thank you so much. Don't ask what the kid was going through. Gehenna. Driving his family meshuggah, driving himself meshuggah, and they were seeing a therapist that made on a special trip to me. And I'm looking at them. There's a mazel that the father came over to me to tell me what's going on, because I would have walked away like, oh, more things to be jealous about. I'm just kidding. I'm not into that. But I could see the way people give such an impression. Then they open up. I've been so many times seeing people that I've envied all my life. And suddenly one day they called me over to Rabbi Geshe Lieberman, came to Lakewood. I was his gabbai. What I saw, people I've known for years, especially a certain younger man, real clean cut, put together. He's Kazera Eva Kadesh. He looked like Meredith. The way he was much better put together than me. And he comes with his rabbits and nice put together. You know, real blamdin, Talmud Chacham, you know, dressed much better, and he lives in a nice this, and he does that, and he does all the good moves, everything. He's one of those guys that's got it all, like they say. I saw before my eyes the way they went over to Reb Gershel Lieberman, and before I turned around, it was time for Tfilas HaGeshem. Boy, the tears were flowing all over the place. I don't know what the issue was. I rather did find out a lot of issues being the gabbai. They were telling me, because Reb Geshem didn't know English, whatever it was. So people opened up, people I knew for years. See that child? There's a certain issue. Look at this beautiful kid. Well, they just decided the school just had enough of him, and he's in the third school. I'm just giving him muscle. Oh, that's that beautiful kid you were so impressed with. That's him that you've been watching in shul and telling your own son, why doesn't he behave like that kid? Why did he? And getting all that. Came right out in front of me. I saw this, my own eyes, one after another. And one guy, this guy comes over. Should I get divorced? He had to tell it to me. Kach v'kach. Weird stories. Wow. What's going on out there? I don't like to say all these soap opera stories. I don't believe in it. But I can tell my wife, you know who just called? Do you know what's going on in this world? That would be very exciting. But I, Beshita, don't believe in that type of excitement. The newspapers believe in it. They make money off it. They live off it. Without that, I don't know if they'd sell. My newspaper? Boring stuff. I'm strictly boring. In fact, when I spoke in Borough Park the other week, I got up, I said, Rabbi Shai, I have some boring stuff to tell you. I spoke in Yiddish. You know, when I spoke in Borough Park, they sent me notes in the middle. We want more Yiddish over here. Anyway, it was great. But I said, I have some boring stuff I want to tell the Olam. And I said it a few times. I never got around to it. The Sultan didn't let me. But towards the end, they said, what's that boring stuff? The other one, what is the boring stuff? You keep putting it off. Yeah, I'll tell you what it was. So you're going to hear the gold mine. The boring stuff is you want to be a happy person, go around your whole life saying, thank you, I can breathe and see and hear and talk and walk and come and go. Say that all day long. You must do that. You must, or else just forget it. Now, Chassid Shalom will just forget it. It's good. Don't listen to me. Don't you dare listen to me and walk out depressed. That's my record. Nobody walks out depressed from my stuff. I'm sorry. No getting depressed. Because the door is not ready to get depressed. It's not for us. We have plenty with Yaitzel L'chol HaDeis. You know, I heard this 30 years ago in the colleges. Lahavdol was saying, this is the age of depression. That's Kufas Hazman. Everyone's depressed. The Goyim, the whole world. Well, it's the age of depression. Why? Because, whatever. But that's the matzah. You want to know why Novartig is saying it's an age of depression? He was running up to COVID. And they don't realize it. They don't chop what's really eating them up. They're running up to COVID. Keep that on. The guy that usually brings the Westgate, you want it to bring a whole to the big shul, yeah? Okay. Take the whole. Anyway, so, age of depression. Because in the morning, it's just COVID. COVID and no betachin, that's it. You sit down and learn Musa, you know my depression. I once saw Navardiga walked out of his Beis Habdidus. This guy, I just found out some news. So-and-so doesn't hold for me. That's official. No? Am I supposed to sleep after that? It's time to get depressed. Somebody doesn't know for me. I mean, let's say, right? You're supposed to get depressed. Isn't that what the cause and effect of hearing an insult or something that you think is an insult? It, the guy doesn't really mean you. It's only, but you don't cop that. Well, he talks like that. That does that to everybody, but you don't realize that. You think it's on you. And so let's get depressed, Rabbi Isai. You're supposed to get depressed. But Gisa Bayam Valayla. You just need a reason for it. Can a type of COVID? All different. What's back there? What's that? L'chaim baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam shakol v'nevi. Amen. I think, Jack, I get calls from Eretz Yisrael. Everybody knows about Jack. They call me, yeah, I listen to you. I know already. Information for Jack. I say, oh, now I know you're tackle listening to me. If the guy knows about Jack, I mean, he's one of my boys. Amen. Doc, you know what I tell the kids in my class? I want to cheer them up. I call them aside. I say, hey, come here. I give you, you see this jelly bean? This morning, jelly beans talk, by the way. I tell that to the kids in my class. Jelly beans do talk. I'll even tell you what they say. This morning, this red, cute jelly bean, the kid smiles. 9-year-old kids I deal with. It's a pleasure. I love them. That kid is the sweetest kid. What's your name again, sweetie pie? Michael, they didn't eat you up yet? Huh? You didn't eat them up? Michael, you want to see the Avishta? Look at these sweeties. By the way, I don't want to say anything. You might be insulted. But to me, you guys are also sweeties. I got much whiter beard than you. You're like these two kids. You're the same thing. They don't change. You think you got old. Yeah, it's the same. They're all cute like crazy. All you guys. Anyway. So where am I up to?
Jelly beans.
I tell them, jelly beans. I tell them, look at this jelly bean. I say, this jelly bean. I whisper, this morning, the jelly bean opened his mouth, his bean mouth. And he started talking to Rebbe, and kid smirked, he smiled. And he said, Rabbi Mandel? Yes, jelly bean, please, yes. Rabbi Mandel, I want a big, big tzaddik to eat me up. So I picked you. I do this all the time. That's my shtick. So Jack wants us to be Misak and Jack. You know, there's a Misa. You know, you can't make a chizik. The truth is you can't make a kid. Not everything's a joke. Do you know that people have certain tastes for a reason? People are allergic to certain foods. Sherman Moonim, I believe, speaks about it. The reason why you eat certain food, you know what's going on inside foods? It's not so pushy. There's the reason why people eat certain foods, and everything's bashkoch. Every person sitting here, it's been a shemayim. Why you're sitting here and you're sitting there, you know him, you know. Everything is from the Rabbeinu Shalom. He has millions of reasons for everything going on in this world. There's a mice with the Heilig Erizin. I'm a Rizin. I'm a Kapitshinitz. I'm from that island. The Heilig Erizin was eating cherries off a cherry tree. It was eating and eating and eating and eating the cherries. And after he ate up half the tree, whatever, he started crying. And he asked Mechila, the leftover cherries, I'm sorry, I can't be Misakin, you guys. I can't be Misakin. It's not push it. It's not push it. Can't be Misakin when you eat it. But anyway, check. Anyway, where are we up to? So, envy is ignorance. Imitation is suicide. Don't imitate anybody. I like exactly the way I am. Thus it does. Now, the latest Moshim. You know the latest Moshim. Somebody comes over to me. This guy's not me. This is a different rabbi, because by me, I'm batting 1,000. No such thing as a failure by me. I've always, whoever gets a bracha buha from me, it's done deal. It's gonna happen. But this other rabbi, he tells me he had a problem. Three chassidim got together, and they're each talking the shvachas of the rebbes. My rebbe, the meisim, I didn't have kids for 10 years. My rebbe gave me a bracha, had a baby. The other one says, I couldn't do a shidduch to save my life. Bracha, Rebbe's bracha, I got the best shidduch. Third one said, what about you? I was looking, you know, Parnassa, the Rebbe says, go invest in this and this, and become rich. I followed his advice, and I lost every penny. So they say, hey, wait a minute. They say it's a true story, by the way. They say, where's the maifus? So he got a maifus. He got him. Where's your maifus? So my maifus is I'm still a chassid. I'm still a chassid. That's my maifus. You saw the sign in the newspapers? Gabbai, looking for Rebbe, 50-50. Anyway, so the mice is like this. Someone told me that he did something wrong in his younger years. Something not right. He told me a little bit something not right when he was younger. This is Gevaldik. Rabbi Burstein's, it's great stuff. There's all great stuff, all this stuff. So he said, I did something wrong, and I knew, this is a true story, I knew the Avis is going to get back at me. You don't do a thing like that. Something's going to happen to me in my life. Sure enough, I got married, and forget it. The rest is history, whatever they want to say over there. Boy, am I going through. Rather, very such of a fellow. Wonderful fellow. So I told him like this. Why did you decide that you deserve? I heard a story years ago. I don't know who it is. I believe it happened in Europe. Because I heard it when I was in France. Some bacha did something nasty to a whole community. He was sticking around, and he caused a lot of aggravation. What the details were? I heard he had a hose, and he was spraying. He did things that he got carried away. It was a practical joke, whatever. And he caused a lot of aggravation for the whole area. And they really let him have it. They were very upset. Bacha made a statement. He said, for that, I deserve to get punished. It really wasn't right what I did. 2 weeks later, he was nifta. What are you saying I deserve to get punished? What are you doing? You're Besdin. You're Sanhedrin over here. I deserve to get punished. I deserve to do tshuva, and I did tshuva. Now, Baal tshuva is even better than a regular guy, so I'm the best guy in town. Because all my averus turned into mitzvahs. What are you drinking a cup? You deserve. Watch out. Self-destruction. And the Brassavas call it self-persecution. They were, the Vardig is, let me tell you. Oh, Navardig is, when you sinned in Navardig, they had said you're a Shemayim. Forget the Yerush Shemayim they had in Navardig. It's a different world. We may bring it back because I'm being encouraged again and again from the biggest people in the world. Bring back Navardig. Full score ahead. Don't be a spouse. I daven. You never know. A lot of stuff. The Eibishter knows what we need. We need the Vardi Kafi or Matzev. You know, we can't have what, you want to know what they used to do? You want to hear some stories? When the Vardi, you ready to go to the Beis HaKvaros? You want to come? Come along. There's an open grave. Someone's just nifta. And they, tomorrow they're burying him. You want to lay down the grave, see what it's all about. Watch. I'm gonna get it for this one. I once said something about Gehenna and one of my things, the next day they get, now people who listen to me, something tells me they're especially, they're the type that really aren't ready for heavy stuff. If they're listening to me, they don't want to hear that. But anyway, it's not going to kill you. It's all right. Don't worry about it. But that's what they did in Navarni. They went into an open grave. They were Gershon Lehman. A few years before he was Nifta, they found him on the floor in his room alone. He thought the door was closed. He had candles around him, and he was imagining himself in the grave. Reb Gershon Lehman never stopped laughing. He was the happiest person I ever met. It's unbelievable. How do you do that and be happy? Because people don't chop. You want to see a real depressed person? Come. I'm going to show you the biggest palace in Westchester County, with about 5 maids and 10 butlers all over the place, with the latest, what are the latest cars that they have today? Lexuses all over the place, whatever, Cadillacs. The place is mamish, about 15 bathrooms. There was a yid, a very big veer, and he moved into a palace. He was a Hungarian Jew. They say, I don't believe the whole story, but it's a good story either way. But I know that he made a remark once. He lived in, there were two derflos together in Hungary next to each other. He was an arm man like everyone else. He lived in one of those two derflos. And he came to America after the war. He struck a rich. He made a lot of money. And he moved into a big, you know, Gvirisha house. And he made a remark once. I don't know how many. He had 16 bathrooms all over the place. Wherever you go, it's Gemara, by the way. I'm Donald Makovskus. Gemara says a lot of things about having basic kisei kerbal, basically, no. There's all chazals into that. Get yourself a good basic kisei. So he was Makayim like chazal with a lot of hidurim. Vice president was his mitzvah. Lachamev Esim, every Rambam says, pick a mitzvah. You know, he picked basic kisei, pick, let's have a good, now he made a remark that he has more basic kiseis in his house than all the basic cases between both towns together back in Europe. See? Bali Ein Hara. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, what? Yeah, he got... The guy is so depressed. You know how many people I've seen like that? I've seen people who live in learning. Now, don't... Watch out what I'm saying. Because you, somebody who lives in learning is the happiest person in the universe. That's the real, real truth. He really is. You can't compare. I once heard that learning a black Gemara lowers your blood pressure. Sit, you want to lower your blood pressure? It's true. I know Yingamon. He has a lot of stress on the job, whatever. Helms up black Gemara. Ah, Messiah. It's Gan Eden. Learning is nothing like it. But still, there's a world called Musar out there for a reason. And sometimes learning won't do the job. I knew Yid who was a lamdin otzum a godel be tyre a godel. I mean, he was big. He was very big. He was a respectable talmid chacham. even by the better ones, by the. And he told me himself, he had a beautiful family, he had everything I wished I could have, he had it all. And he told me how bitter he was, whatever it was. How did that happen? Well, you get bitter, you have the Gemara too. You gotta learn Moshe Rabbeinu. I remember the Manchester, Yehuda Segel. Don't listen to this about Musa business with me. You don't have to learn Musa. Don't listen. It's a preference. You listen to me, it's good enough. I'm very serious. You notice I'm always talking two sides of my mouth. I have a reason for doing that. I'm very serious about it. Because I went through the system like everyone else. And the system is great. But there's so much Musa Shmuzin out there that you walk out, you don't even hop. I was getting you depressed. Because you don't relate to it. What if there's someone sitting here that's not in the Gaya learning Musa? It's very possible. And it's not your fault either. So I'm going to start saying, Musa, or else you're dead. I can't do that stuff. It's not fair. But there are people that it's kedai for them to hear this pitch. Learn Musa. It's very kedai. It's so kedai. Learn Musa, the sweetness of Musa. I described how they learned Musa in the Vardy. I didn't see, this is what I noticed. Maybe I'm on my own. The way they described Musa, it was the Chedva Sachayim. It was their hobby. This is, you have my stamp collection, the stuff that I'm so, but I had a Yerusha from Isaiah, these beautiful coins from before the Civil War, and I got them all nice shined, and this one has cost $1,000, and that one's, and this is my hobby. Some people have their thing. It's their baby. That's Musa in the Vardig. They love it. If you keep hearing that Musa is delicious, that's exactly what's going to happen. Rabbi Miller says, if they put some, I don't want to say what, on top of an ice cream cone, and they stood there in the street licking it all day, watch what happens. The whole world will be doing it. Because people, oilam gailam, a person is a machine. And the Vardig says, a maisa kaif, everything. Everyone's doing it. People follow. They don't even know what they're doing. Like I mentioned once, the East and West got together in this big place. It was a universal, international, whatever they were getting together to meet, whatever they were doing. So they're all the Orientals over here and all the Americans, the West, the East and the West together under one big roof. And there all the Westerns were drinking coffee and all the Easterners were drinking tea and all the Easterners are looking at the West's coffee? You guys crazy? It's disgusting. Young, whatever they say over there in Japan. Yeah. You guys okay? Coffee? How could you eat that stuff? And the Americans looking, oh, tea? Come on. Have a cup of coffee. Now, why are these guys so sure that coffee and these guys so sure it's tea? Because they've been brainwashed. Wherever they go, no one has to say a word to them. Coffee house, oh, he's drinking coffee. Or you want, I got better ideas. So every day, Kazera, Avocadish, coffee. Or fressing. You hang around Americans long enough. If you didn't have an appetite, they'll teach you how to do it. You eat. Everyone's eating. I eat. I can't help. I can't stop eating. Because your environment is promoting that concept all over the place. You come into Lakewood, you'll learn. Whether you like it or not. You're gonna like it after a while. Look at this guy learning. He's learning. Hey, they look like it's a good thing. Let's move. You live around the Torah community. You're gonna be learning. That's why it's good to hang around here. Your environment dominates your mind. How much of your mind do you really have? Not too much. Not too much. How much is it you? Not too much. It's your, so just stick around. Rabbi Miller says, the least divorces are. In the big cities where you belong to a shul and you're embarrassed to do certain things because no one's doing it. So that keeps you in line. You move in suburbia where no one knows you, no one sees you, you start doing things maybe you shouldn't do. So you need the environment. Stick around. That's the best thing. Stick around people who learn. The best thing. Oh, but it's fun. Not. Anyway, so in Avadi, it's learn Musa. Learn Musa. You keep hearing that. You're going to learn Musa. Oh, boy, you're going to learn Musa. And you're going to love it. It's going to change your life. Learn Musa, the sweetness from Yisrael Kanarik, Zechel Tzadik of Rachel. I never understood him. He was my Rebbe in New Rochelle. later became Peace Corps, was he something? What I owe him, his neshama should have the biggest aliyah possible. Say amen, Rabbi Yisai. I want to give him everything. He did a lot for me. Rav Kanarik. Ah, unforgettable. Rashiv of New Rochelle. Now, he used to talk, one thing I didn't have in learning, he was Graves Meyerdink. He used to speak in learning in this year. I used to argue with him, and he fought back. And I felt like $1 million with him. He knew how to deal with me. He used to build you up. He was a European who understood Americans more than all the Americana Rosh Hashivas. He knew a person like that. He was Meyerdink. I owe him so much. Maybe should bless him up there and give him as much as he has. I want him to have 1 million times more. And so what did he do? But one thing I really didn't have, he was into Musa. So what is this? Oh, come on. I felt it was Bittel Torah. And he used to go there. And so I remember the nigga, he had a beautiful voice. He was a Vama Yid. Oh, boy. He was a literature. Oh. But he came from beyond Chassidim. Something going on, I could picture it. So, you know, they're best beyond a capitulation, it's not a saying. Anyways, so whatever, but we were both checking. But he had a voice, he had a vomkite, he liked music, and he used to dance with us with a fight. We used to watch him, wow. He used to dance like a bacha, European. He was back home in Europe. He learned in Raden by the Chavetz Chaim. You know who he was? Ah, he knew Rabbi Chanan, what's that there? Rabbi Ben, and Klenikite. Anyway, so he used to talk about Musa. I don't know, what does he want with this stuff? He used to sing, I remember the Musa again. And he used to learn Musa with a brand. Come on. I really never. But later on, the Navardigas, they did the job. They really did a job of me. I got extreme. But he got up one day, and he said a story. And to him, I saw it. This was his life. His sons once told me, Zangazin Shtak Roshiva is a peace school, my best friend, Rebellia Kanarik, or Peshel Kanarik, or Beryl, or Mendel, the sweetest people in the universe. They told me once they saw him learning Musa in his attic, and no one was there, and he was crying. And he was calling himself names. You know what he called himself? Du verstunkene Balgeivenik. Don't you do that! Don't you do that! You know what you do when you learn Musa? Thank you, Abishtha, that the Rashka Bahag is right here. I'm better than all the guys. That's what you do. I'm serious. You may want to do that too. People are different. I'm not going to tell everybody, you know. Do it if it makes you happy. Maybe you should do that. It's a free country. But he used to do that. And he cried when he did it. He once gave a zug. He said, you know what Musa is? When a person develops a geschmack, and giving himself a patch. He enjoys giving himself a patch. Not for you and not for me. Maybe, I don't know, but Rabbi Bender, pleasure to see you. Anyway, but let me tell you, one mice he told over. They're so salanti. You know that Rabbi Aaron Cutley used to mention Rabbi Sol Salanta used to shake. That's what I heard. Sol Salanta, you know what he was? I heard this from Rav Kanarik. That Rabbi Aaron said that there were Anashia Gdol Yisrael in the time of Rabbi Sol Salanta. And he was Keneged Kulam. He was a bomb. Rabbi Sol Salanta, Malach Hashem Patrokis. I know somebody whose father was a Meshamashim. He watched him go to sleep in the middle of the day. He went to sleep for a half an hour. And he watched him sleep. And his face was on fire when he slept. There's a Malach Hashem Tzvokis. And his Rebbe, Reb Zundel. Oh, forget it. Reb Zundel Misalant. Milonu Golem. Reb Zundel is a tzaddik yisayid oilem. There was nothing like him. There's a Talmud Ruchayim Bolozhin. There was a Riz, nothing like him. Anyway. So Reb Shol Salant was a young person. And he took one look at Reb Zundel. And Reb Zundel was a tzaddik nister. And he watched the way he made kiddush, and he knew kol ha'tayda kula himself salanta. And he watched every move Reb Zundel made. Oh, that's the Rosh's shita, and he wants to be yaitzer the Rambam. You know, he so salanta knew. He watched every move. It was millions of things going on. The way he was medactic and everything. He was dealing with big guns at the Gresta. Anyway, so he was following Rabbi Yisrael Salant, Reb Zundel in the forest to find out what's a Yid supposed to do with himself. How do you become the real thing? And he watched them and watched them and watched them. And he's following behind the tree. Where's he? The Rebbe shouldn't catch me. And finally the Rebbe turned around and he saw Rabbi Yisrael. And he saw, and he knew what he wanted. He says, Rabbi Yisrael, you want to know the derech? Learn Musa! Rabbi Yisrael heard those two words. It changed his whole life. And the Musa movement started right there. Learn Musa! You know how many hours he used to learn on Betachin, Reb Zundel? Hours and hours, Betachin. Betachin was his number one thing. Reb Zundel, Betachin. Reb Yisrael loved Dafka. I didn't hear that about him. Reb Zundel, Betachin, that was his everything. He needed a shidduch for his daughter. She was an older girl, couldn't get a shidduch, nowhere. And he didn't have any stella. He wasn't so azay, whatever. He was a tzaddik nista. He said, watch, I'm getting a top shidduch. I'm going to get the top shidduch around. Shmuel Salant was just divorcing his first wife, whatever. Come to Rhein. He was divorcing him. He said, watch me get him. And he had a whole bunch of things. He's not getting, remarrying so fast. I'm getting him, watch. And within overnight, he got him. Like, he had been talking. Here he told Shmuel Salant. He told Shmuel Salant. Here's a Meister, a Baron tells it over. He had an Adam, not the Nutkin. I was at his grave. Not the Nutkin was another Adam of his. Not the Nutkin. He said, I'm going to take the first bottle off the... first, he tells Rav Shmuel Salant. Rav Shmuel Salant was... He said, I'm moving to Eretz Yisrael. And he tells Rav Shmuel, come. You're my Adam. Come along. So he says, no, I can't come. Whatever. He has a stellar day, whatever. I can't come. So he says, watch, you'll be coming. How do you know? I have a doctor. Short while later, something's wrong with his heart. He went to the doctor. The doctor says, you need a warm country. And they gets on the boat, and his father says, serious fool, I told you, you're coming. Okay, a little while later, he needs another shidduch. How's he getting a shidduch for the next daughter, an older girl? He says, there were no bachurim around. There was a small yeshiv in the Yerushalayim. There's nobody. Watch, the first bachur that gets off the boat, I'm taking out the chassan. And I'm nothing to worry about. So he waits by the boat. The next boat will arrive. And there's Israel from Europe. He says, first bach he sees, my name is Zundel's, Reb Zundel, Miss Alant. I got a girl. You're interested? Bach said, no problem. He shook hands. Done deal. Those days, they weren't complicated. We have to be complicated. And they weren't the Vardigans. I don't know exactly. That's the way this is in print. Hey, come inside now, Tolly. Come inside. Anyway, they got engaged. So then they're like, let's speak and learning with him. Let's see what you got here. Start speaking and learning. What are you learning? Huh? Oh, I'm not sure. I'm not really into that stuff. Oh, no. Shem Yirachem. What do I fall into in Amoritz? I got myself Yanesh Yerach. My kids are... He didn't open his mouth. And the whole island was walking around. Your betachin didn't work this time, you know. Yeah, betachin, take the first boy, the chip. You're playing games. Kids said, Rabaron, they say the story was told over by Rabaron. I heard it from Yosef Kaplan saying it. Anyway. So, right after the chuppah, and everyone's good and depressed, real depressive chasana, like a felon with his betachin. Right after the chuppah, he opens his mouth, and out comes Kol HaTeira Kula. He was a great Olam. He was an Enikul of the Shagas Aryeh. And he made a Kabbalah, and he's not going to speak of learning until the Chasana. That's a good shidduch for Reb Zundel. Anyway, so they came running to Reb Zundel. Reb Zundel! Reshul Salnat came in. You struck a rich, you got a great Olam, an Enikul of the Shagas Aryeh. So they say, this is the way it goes, Rabbi Shem Rabaron. for him. They told him suddenly he was. He says, "Okay, that's great. We knew." He wasn't like, you know, yeah, of course, like, why not? A real Baba Tachan isn't scared of nothing. He knows. That's the second story. He got from nothing up. Anyway, what was the other story? Nothing. Came to America with some type of a whatever. He had a shuluch or something, and they he's up there. So he's very strange. Right. And that was the So the Muslim movement. The Musa movement, he was the one who put Rabbi Shaul on his feet in Musa. Rabbi Shaul Salanta spent his lifetime learning Musa. Come to Zion. Musa is the sweetest thing. You know what I do when I'm bored, when I'm depressed, when I'm what? I forgot how to be depressed, by the way. You know that my Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael Schwartz, Yom Narayim, you know, he says, yeah, it's an inyan to cry. He says, I wish I could do that. I'm just not into that. You hear this? I mean, after a while, you have a way of thinking. You don't cry so fast. You know, oh, cry that way. You're supposed to cry. Anyway, when you talk about Musa a lot, you appreciate it more. I sit and learn Musa. And Ganei Natachten. Betachen Musa! The other stuff, handle with care. I'm talking about me. I know people learn sharp Musa and they cry and they're happy people. I'm not discrediting the old Sefer. Talking about me. I take this Sefer, I'm betachin, another leave more betachin. Oh, write thank yous all day long. That's called learning Musa. Writing Hashgachas is real Musa. Writing Hashgachas, Musa, all the way. And nothing I see the words. Just look at the words again and again. It calms you down. And every day you have another issue. Think it is, and it goes away. There's nothing like learning Musa. Anyway. I believe in crying, rather. Yom Narayim, you're not going to cry. Rosh Hashanah, show you're scared. Are you crazy? You know what a schus it is? To cry in Rosh Hashanah is the biggest schus in the world. Cry. Cry in public. So everyone should hear you. And they'll say you're a little funny. So... You'll be a kapara. Why did you cry? It's Rosh Hashanah and you're not crying. Oh, very interesting. That's a cute day, Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. Dip the apple in the honey, you know. It's a fun day. It should be a simcha diga day, but it has to be some yira, you know. Believe me, those people who had yira, they were much happier than anybody. You're afraid of Hashem. The Navari is understood. Why everybody's depressed? Because they're not getting the cover that they want. Go ahead all day long and say, when you're in front of people that are scaring you, it could be your wife, could be your kids. Kids also scare you. Because people will say that my kid's not good. It's all covered. You don't chop, trace it. It's all covered. Whatever's bothering you, they say the principal didn't say something, the kid didn't behave. My business, I owe money. It's COVID. You can't pay it, so what? You tried. So what? Try the best you can. But what are you so stressed out for? He's going to call me up and say, and I didn't have it, and that's not Elach. Why is that not Elach if you don't have money? You're Elach. You're trying your best. That's not called not Elach if you don't have it. Try your best. You have to try. You owe somebody money. Do something. Go to work. Somebody. You did. You tried. And it's not coming. Why are you stressed? COVID. What are people saying about me? I'm not. They're saying about you that you're no good. That's the only problem. All your problems can be traced to COVID. And all you got to do is sit there and say, HaKovid evel avolim, HaKovid evel avolim. By the way, if anybody wants to take me, I'm going to Chasana tonight. A young man from Yerushalayim sent me $500. To get his daughter engaged. And she got married tonight. She's getting married tonight. And I'm going. Anybody want to go? So we'll go. Get it to her. See how? With the talking. And this girl, she before anything happened, she was making all the dishes for the Tanayim. She knew she's getting a year. She gave a whole positive thing, Rabbi. Rabbi Golombek, what? Where is the chas? A Teres Riva. Come, let's have a ball. Why not? We'll go. Have fun, sure. Anyway, what time is it? I told them it'll be it. Okay. Anyway, so they had, it was, imagine they bought this at Madriga Batochen. This girl was buying things, you know, before she met the boy. She was buying things, imagine. Anyway. Yeah, you gave $500. Get me to sit. I told them what to do. And within a year, she's engaged. He's giving me credit. I don't know. I give the Avis the credit. That's right. I once had a beat with somebody, a doctor from out of town, who had a serious yanamachla. He was choking, literally, mama, choking to death. One of my shepherds was, he brought him into my house from Mendel. You got to save the guy's life. And he comes in, he starts coughing violently, and it's getting worse and worse, and he's choking, and it's trickles. And I said, you know, my nosach. Oh, stop it. Oh, stop acting like you're sick. Oh, stop the baloney. This guy's nasty. Instead of crying with me, caring for me, I wasn't that mean. I have been like this with the COVID guys. I remember in 1 week, I told 4 COVID guys the same nosach. Get out of bed. Cut it out. But I don't feel good. Yeah. You know why? Because you're busy talking to everybody about COVID. Sooner or later, it's going to happen to you. It's all you talk about. It's all you think about. So what's going to happen? It's baloney. I say, but I have the symptoms. Yeah, you got the symptoms because all you talk about all day is COVID moment. So you think and talk about COVID. So the Abishah says, or there's another chazal. Cherdas Adam Yitem Maikesh. It's all you're afraid of it all day. It's going to hit you. If all you're busy being afraid, soon the fear comes. Hear that? That's how it works. I've got 4 guys out of bed in 1 week. I screamed at them. 2 were in the ICU. ICU, why? Get out of that sick place. Arise. There's a doctor. Somebody told me, this is a real, I forgot who I should have kept. When someone goes to the ICU, he says, come over here, take a shower. He makes a bittle out of the whole, and he gets him out like that. You know the power of bittle? Asher Salalti B'Mitzrayim. I made fun of Mitzrayim. You want to kill Mitzrayim? The culture of Mitzrayim. We had to get out of the culture. You know, Mitzrayim had a very attractive culture. Memtah Shari Tumah. There's a lot of garbage going on. And don't think we weren't attracted to that stuff. So how do you get rid of it? It's all make a joke out of it. Oh, stop. You're trying to act sick again. You want attention for everything. It's not true, yo. It's not true. Baloney. I got 4 guys out of it, like, in 2 days. One after another. 2 of them, the wife had to speak to me because he was barely audible. He couldn't talk. For 3 weeks, they were in bed. They couldn't move. My husband's in terrible shape. Oh, yeah. Wait till I put him in his place. I promise you. And some of them I didn't know. I still never met him. But a week later, I'm talking to him. He forgot he ever had the sickness. I was screaming. First, I told the family, he's going to be fine. But speak to him, please. I spoke to him. I scream at these guys. Get out of bed, you mishugana. Get out of ice. You think you're sick. You get attention for being sick. Huh? Now listen. I don't want the Yalim to do what I'm doing. Please, don't do that. When I do it, have siyata d'shmaya. I mean, have whatever. Watch out. Some people are not interested in you in hearing. They want you to cry along with them, and maybe they deserve. Maybe they need that. Maybe they're really sick. I say, even if you're really sick, if I can brainwash you that you're not sick, are you sick? How do you get sick in the first place? You know which people are getting sick? You know, often people develop the same disease that their relative has. This guy was just nifta. Now the son-in-law got the same. Why? Because all day his head is busy in the hospital thinking of that thing all day and all night. So then, before you turn around, next case. People, what do you think about all day? That's what I'm saying. You want to be a happy person? Weil was the son, was the Talmud of Maseilas Yesharim. And he was a doctor. And he said the tachlis of a doctor is to prove to the patient that he's healthy. Our doctors, Lavdavka, I'll prove to you you're sick. Oh, yes, you need to, yes, or else you're dead. You know, now they killed him with that already. He's already dead by just talking to such a doctor. You know, you get positive doctors who laugh things off. I'm serious. I've experienced on a shit with that stuff. Anyway, so where are we up to? Have to help me out. Who? Oh, you got it. He was choking. So we got together. He was choking, and I started brainwashing. There's nothing wrong with you. No, I can tell. How do you know? I see. I know. I have Ruach HaKodesh. Yes. You're okay, doc. He was a doctor from out of town. You're okay. You'll see. You'll be all right. I guarantee. I've been talking to him. And he was a Tzimistic American. About you, I think. And I was together with somebody else here. From somebody who comes to my vat. And he helped me along. I hocking and cup. And a half hour later, it was alleviated. And I kept in touch. And it was a new matzah. He became like. So then at the vat, we discussed it. And he told over, like, you know, Nidal's Mythos. I says, what about you? He says, yeah, I'll take 25%. But 75% was you. I says, wait a minute. You're leading the Avista out of the whole business. You, my Mythos, your Mythos. What about the Avista? Anyway, Rabbi say, now I'll tell you something. This guy comes over to me. His wife starts yelling at him. His wife starts yelling. He has been listening to me, this fellow. I speak a lot, by the way. I speak here, I speak there. This guy listens to me, not from this Eilam here. He listens to me, and he comes out to me one day, and he says, I've been listening to you, and guess what? You saved me. What happened? My wife screamed at me the other day. And I says, oh, your wife screamed at you. That's nice. Yeah, and guess what I did? Normally, I'd be, that's how you talk? That's not right. No, no, no. I never did that. No, you're wrong. I'm sorry. I'm right. You're wrong. He said, the normal thing would be 4 days of fighting cats and dogs. That would be the normal situation. But after listening to me, I don't know what he heard from me, but he heard my type of stuff. On the spot, you're right. You are so right. Ah, I'm so sorry what I did. She was wrong. No, 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 no. You're right. You're right. You know, I do this too a lot. The only thing is when I do it, I say, Bekel Rav. I don't just say, you're right. I scream. You're right. I also hold you right. You're 100% right. Yes. No, no, I am wrong. With a stone. So that's just, you're not stomp right. You're the good guy around here. I'm off the wall. And I don't kid around either. No, you're talking right. I have to work on myself. After what? Every guy's got his own, you know. I want to tell you, I do want to tell you, there are some ladies out there that you're killing the fun when you do that. What you're really supposed to do, I know you used to do that. You used to fight around with her with a low voice. She never got angry, but he used to fight, and she felt good about it, that at least he's garrus me. He's answering me. So, Mike, you got to watch out what you're doing. Every lady said, okay, let's fight it out. So feel like accomplished, you know. He fought, and I still won over him. It's more geschmack like that. But when they tell you, out of first base, you scream out, you're right. So, oh, come on. I thought I could marry somebody that we could, you know, make a lemonade. Whenever it's boring in life, kill each other. My frela. Anyway, so he said, thanks to my chinuch that I gave him. He said, right away, she's right. And the next day, she comes over to him and she apologized. I was really wrong for yelling at you. So he thanked me for that. That's something. That's the way to go. You have to be right. I told you about the two Deutsche Yidden. I told you the two Nazis. Rav Canary Zatzal lived in Leipzig. He was a Galician, a Yiddel. But he lived his father. You take as much of the Tachon Weeklies on my side, there's stacks of them. You bring him Westgate, anybody? Anybody? You bring it there? Thanks a million. The big shul took us, tons of them, all over the place. And the sheets, take a lot of these sheets, you take more. It's a big, how many dealing with? A couple hundreds, hundred people? Thanks a lot. Put them out. Let's put them all over the place. Anyway, so what happened? So, what was I talking about? Who? Yeah, they're two walking in the street on a narrow sidewalk. And they're walking towards each other. Rav Canary told me this. He saw this happen every day. Excuse me, I was here first. These are grown people. Teutonic type of people. German, you know, with bull neck. You know what they look like. A German guy with his bald head. Say, I was here first. I am sorry. And the other guy tells him, that is not true. I was here before you. That is totally not true. How dare you say that? Yes, a half an hour. They're both screaming at each other. You have nothing better to do with yourself. But you have to be truthful. You can't. You have to be truthful. You have to be. You can't. No. You have to be honest. I was here first. You can't lie to me. You know, there's a picture, a famous picture that they put out. There's a certain type of a bird which has a cardinal or something. It blows itself to scare the other birds. The males get together to fight with each other. So they want to show off that they're strong. So they have they inflate their necks like a balloon. And they show off, oh, I'm tough, you don't start with me. There's a puffer fish. You ever hear of a puffer fish? It's a poison fish, by the way. Japanese eat it for cover. Yeah, get covered for showing I can eat that. You might die. Oh, still going to eat it. It's a big status to show I'm eating a puffer fish. It blows itself up. It's a certain, but it has deadly poison in it. And you're on the chef's mercy. The guy in the chef is supposed to clean out all the poison. And he can't always do everything. Then he serves it. They make a duck out of it. They patchkin it. And it's a status. I think in Japan or China, one of these, they show we're going to the puffer fish. We're going to be eating puffer fish, which means Sakonis the Fuss. Like Russian roulette. You heard of Russian roulette? They take a gun and give a kvetch. It could be one of them has a bullet. And you ring it around. And then you take a shot. If you're lucky, nothing happens. If you're not lucky, it was the bullet, and you're dead. So people are starving for COVID. They're going to die in dignity. I had a Russian roulette, and boom. You die with honor. You know, there's a maestro with a woman in San Francisco. Her husband did something in Hashem Yirachem, like Goyim. And she said, my husband do that. That means I'm not a good wife. And therefore, I must do something honorable in honor of the occasion of his being a Kolona Mason. You know, I Kolona Mason. Shame. What Rashi says, busy doing things you shouldn't do. And the kids are so... She went into, but she wasn't, this was in Los Angeles, she went into the Pacific Ocean with her three little children, and she drowned herself with all the kids, and she had a little fire, like the Gadol HaDor, because she did, that's what you're supposed to be doing. When that's the honorable way of dealing with such a situation. Her husband was unfaithful to her. So she acted, that's the Minigah Olam, that's, she died in dignity, you know, hush of a lady. That's what they said. So anyway, so where am I up to over here with the? What am I talking about? The bird. So the bird tries to. So the puffer fish, go eat the puffer fish, and it might kill you. You realize this, within an hour you come home suddenly, your body starts going through the worst yisurim in the world, and within an hour or two you're dead. And it's an honorable thing to do. Eat the puffer fish. And you should know, I want to be my or something. What do we get out of this? I like to make my jokes. I have to be funny. But I want to tell you something. People who do these things have no respect for themselves. A yid has to understand, Achmanalitzlan, if you're putting yourself down all day and all night, Achmanalitzlan, it's an azam halach. You can't do that to yourself. You have to respect yourself. You have to hold it in gewaldig. Don't knock yourself all day. Anyway, get back to the puffer fish. So they put one, the bird. So the bird blows up his neck, and while he's blowing up his neck, they put him in a mirror. So he sees another male bird. You took Aaron Pesach, you took a stack of them, yeah? Thanks a lot. And you got these also? These are brand new. You got them. So they put one in a mirror. So as he blows up his thing to show, I'm a tough bird, you know, to start up with me. You know, the males kill each other. You know, it started with me. So the other guy whom he's fighting against is himself in the mirror. And he, as he blows up, the other guy also blows up. I saw pictures of this. And they blow up till Mashiach. And the guy's boiling angry. I'm tougher than you. And the guy talks, Yel Chab, it's you. Yeah, I gotta tell you something. I spent hours and hours, this poor bird, they keep on making experiments, these poor birds. This I wanna tell you. In a varnish they held, don't put down anybody, you're putting yourself down. Call a paisel, but move a paisel. I will tell you something that many malamdim have noticed. You ready for this one? Many malamdim have, whoever he is, they all have the same experience. There's a liar in the class. A pathological liar, a ganav, one of those. A kid that's, and they ask me, how many boys in this class know kids who lie a lot? All those kids who lie, I know somebody like that. They all raise their hands. I've seen this for years. Always the kid who he himself does that knows kids like that. The other kids don't know about it. They know. Zong Chazal kol ha-poisel b'mumay poisel. The Alter from the Vardik said, if you see anything bad in another person, you have problems. Why you see bad? Why? Why you see that? Because the Chassidish is far and about. I think there's a Mori 9. They say that's a simon. You're not a Merkavah Kedusha. Some of the holy person is not interested in seeing bad. You know, some people, the latest scandal, the latest two guy who did. You know, what do you? I told you what happened. I had a my session. I think I mentioned it last week. No, no, guys. I got a call. They wanted to kill each other, the two parties. And he says, I refuse to deal with nasty stuff again. I don't want to hear it. He did this, he did that. And I refused, and I gave a bracha. Within 2 days, every single week, the whole matzah turned around. And I give credit, because I didn't want to listen to rotten stuff. Don't listen to gossip, to Lashon Hara. It's such poison. So I'm going to tell you a true story now. I don't like to say negative stories, but somebody was saying something nasty. It should be a chusam to learn from. I witnessed this. He was screaming about a certain person's amla. As he was screaming, the other person was at least 1,000 miles away. Something happened to him. Something very serious. He got out with Nisim. Don't speak negative on anything, on anybody. Speak positive. They see Rabbi Miller. They showed him a Zaynikach once. They were jumping around the house like a bunch of Voldachayas. And they bring him in. Look what the kids are doing.
I think they're beautiful, wonderful children.
I only see good. You do that, they will become like that. Even behind their backs. The opinion you have of children, they feel it in the air. Change your opinion. Force yourself to see good in everybody. Force yourself. The waves, the radio, it goes, it travels in the air. The positive energy is all over the place. I know Yingaman, who had a terrible rebellious matzah in his house. And one of his kids knew how to do the job. Oh boy. Some kids are good at it. They know how to get the parent angry. And this parent got involved in B'tochen. And he kept spent the year B'tochen. And he felt it was in the air. And the kids started doing nasty things just to get the parents angry. And every time it happened, this parent was so high up with B'tochen that he was just everything will work out. And then he wasn't in the spot. And the child tried again and again to get in his skin and talk up to the wall. I'm just not angry. I'm so full of bitachon. I'm in a different world. A year later, the kid made a 180-degree turnaround for the rest of the life, nachas tov shamayim. And the parent told me that they felt the bitachon, the waves of bitachon, were in the air. They felt it in the... They went into these forum. I feel a certain menuch. Yay! You don't look at the problem. You feel... I think I spoke enough, no? Beautiful. Have a good Shabbos, Abayisai. Alles Gitz. Shabbos, good Shabbos.